Reading from the Ekadasi Mahatmyam, Chapter 21, Brahma Vaivart Puran, Lord Krishna speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira about the glories of Indira Ekadasi, which takes place during Ashwin Krishna Paksha, Ashwin Maina, which is the time of Pitri Paksha, 15 days of worshipping the ancestors. So Maharaj Yudhisthira asked, O Krishna Madhusudan, what is the name of this Ekadasi, and how do you follow it? Krishna said it's called Indira, and if you observe this Ekadasi, you can deliver your degraded forefathers, and all of your own sinful reactions are eradicated. So it's interesting, this Ekadasi, which happens actually during Pitri Paksha, is also related to Pitri Puja. There's a lot of people do Shraddha and Pinda and different feeding of cows or ants or crows to free their ancestors from their incarceration in Yamapuri. Then he tells some itihas about this, which is the usual standard. Oh, Yudhisthira, once there was a king named Indrasena who lived in Satyuga. He was expert in subduing his enemies, and he ruled his kingdom, Mahishmatipuri, with great prosperity. Surrounded by his children and grandchildren, King Indrasena lived very happily. He was very attached to Vishnu Bhakti. Since he was a devotee, absorbed in spiritual knowledge, he spent most of his time chanting the names of Sri Govinda. One day, the king was happily sitting on his dais. Narada Muni suddenly appeared before him from the sky. Quite a fortunate king, have darshan with Narada Muni. Satyuga, these things were common, I guess. Mahishmatipuri. The king immediately stood up to greet Narada Muni and folded hands in respectful obeisances and worshipped him with 16 ingredients. After the sage was happily seated, he said, O great king, and Narada said, is everyone happy and prosperous in your kingdom? Is your mind fixed in religious principles? And are you engaged in Vishnu Bhakti? O best of sages, replied the king, everything is well and auspicious by your mercy. Today my life has become successful by your darshan, and my performance of yajnas has borne fruit. O sage among the demigods, Devarshi, please tell me the cause of your visit. After hearing the humble words of King Indrasena, Narada Muni said, O lion-like king, now hear about a wonderful incident that happened to me, O best of kings. Once I went to the abode of Yamaraj from Brahmalok. Yamaraj greeted me respectfully and worshipped me properly. After I was comfortably seated, I offered prayers to the pious, truthful Yamaraj. Then I saw your greatly pious father in the assembly of Yamaraj. As a result of breaking a vow, your father had to go to Yamapuri. O King Indrasena, your father asked me to convey this message to you. He said, Indrasena, the king of Mahishmatipuri, is my son. O Lord, please tell him that due to some sinful activities committed in my previous life, I am now living in Yamapuri. Therefore, he should observe the vow of Indira Ekadasi and give away its piety to me. Then I will be released from my present condition of life. This was the father of Indrasena. So then Narada said, O King Indrasena, this is your father's request to you. In order to deliver your father to the spiritual world, you should observe the vow of Indira Ekadasi. One point is that this principle is often mentioned in the Dharma Shastras about donating piety to someone else. Just as we can donate money, we can earn some money by our work, by our labor. Of course, it's also our karma. But we earn some money, then we can give it to someone else who's in distress or in need of money. And of course, that also benefits us when you give charity, and there's charity in tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. that gives material results in the material world, sattvic charity, rajasic, tamasic. But then there's transcendental charity, which gives transcendental result. And transcendental charity is giving to spiritual persons, Brahmins, Vaishnavas, for the sake of the Lord. Then you get a spiritual result, which means you get sadhu sangha, an opportunity to hear Harikatha, and even get blessings, and possibly diksha, and even liberation. Because that's the ultimate result of spiritual activities, is mukti, mukti prapti. But nothing material can give you mukti. And just rotate in the material world from swarga to nara, naralok to swargalok, to bulok. So this is an interesting point. Many of these stories say giving away the piety for the husband or this or that. So I remember when Prabhupada was sick in 1977, everyone was observing different vratas and vows and praying that Prabhupada would. They were offering their youth to Prabhupada, and like King Ayati or something, like Puru, the son. We were all praying to Krishna, please take our lives and extend Prabhupada's life. So this is often done. I often tell husbands and wives, if one party is not interested, then they can, in Krishna, then they can observe Ekadasi. That's Hari's day, Hari Vasara. And Hari becomes very pleased, especially when people chant his name on this day and speak about him. And then they can take a sankalp that the result of this, the Punya Sukriti, Sukriti fall will go to my husband or wife, and they will become inclined towards my devotional practices and take it up themselves. And I've seen, by implementing this practice, I've seen direct results in several cases, that people that were away from this idea completely, but a wife or a husband would take this vow of Ekadasi, perform Ekadasi and give the charity to the other party, and they would change. And then no one can understand why. And I said, this is why. The Shastras don't lie. The Shastras are true. You should have faith. And Krishna arranged that. Then King Indrasen said, oh, Devarshi Narad, how do I observe this Ekadasi? Narad Muni said, on Dasami, you should take bath early in the morning and offer oblations to the forefathers for their satisfaction. On that Dasami, you should eat only once and sleep on the floor at night. On Ekadashi, which is today, Indira Ekadashi, one should rise early in the morning, brush his teeth, wash his hands and mouth, and take a bath. Then he should take a vow not to indulge in any kind of material enjoyment, and thus observe a total fast. He should also pray to the Lord, saying, O lotus-eyed one, I take shelter of you. So that's pretty, what would that be in Sanskrit? O Pundrikaksha, Sharanagati, Sharanagati, Aham, or something. I take shelter of you. Therefore, thereafter at noon, in front of Shalagram, this is where Shalagram's there on the altar. We have a small Shalagram next to Giraj, so we can do this mentally. At noon, in front of Shalagram, he should offer oblations to his forefather according to proper rules and regulations. So what does oblations mean? It means food? I guess it means food and water. It means some grains cooked in ghee and some water. That's what I think it means, oblations. And then, so we can do that mentally, we can offer some dal bati chorma, and kachoris, and yes, and all nice puris, and usually offer these type of deep-fried items. You can also offer rice to our grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and grandfathers. Then after that, we can mentally worship the Brahmins. 108 Brahmins are all lined up over here. Yes. And we feed them sumptuously. Yeah. And give them dakshin. And then at the end, we should give the remnants of the oblations to the cows. During the day, one should worship Lord Rishikesh by offering sandalwood paste, flowers, incense, lamp, and foodstuffs with devotion. So we're doing that. One should remain awake that night. That we won't do. We'll do that mentally. Mentally we'll stay awake. Manasik Jagran. Manasik Jagran. And that chanting, hearing, and remembering the names, forms, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Next morning, one should worship Lord Hari and feed the Brahmins. And that we'll try to do. Thereafter, one should break his fast by eating along with his brothers, children, grandchildren, relatives, while maintaining silence. That's quite an interesting thing. Sit with your whole family and no one speaks. It's very often like this, as one should eat in silence. Prabhupada used to eat in silence. Of course, he ate by himself. O King, if you follow this Ekadashi as I have described, then your father will certainly attain the abode of Vishnu. After speaking in this way, Devarshi Narad left. The king and his saints strictly observe Ekadashi per the instructions, along with his children and servants. Afterwards, flowers showered from the sky, and the father of King Indrasen flew back to Vishnu Loka on Garuda. And then King Indrasen happily ruled his kingdom without any impediment. At the end of his life, he entrusted his kingdom to his son, and he personally returned to the spiritual world. Such are the glories of Indira Ekadashi. Anyone who reads or hears the glories of this Ekadashi becomes free from all sinful reactions and ultimately returns to the abode of Vishnu. So this is a nice Mahima, the glories is Indira Ekadashi. Indira is the name for goddess Lakshmi also. She's known as Indira in the Gopi Gita. Yeah. Gopis refer to Indira. That Vrindavan has become auspicious by the footprints of Krishna, holding the footprints of Krishna on her back. So she has like become like the goddess of fortune. Everything has become auspicious. So this is the Rupanuga Dhara, the current of Rupanuga. Followers of Rupa Goswami, all rivers lead to the ocean. All the rivers flow down the land and end up in some ocean here or there. Indian Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean. All the rivers flowing on the land end up in the ocean. They originate in the ocean and they return to the ocean. The ocean is the husband of the rivers. And the rivers are the wives. So for the Rupanuga Vaishnava, the current of his thought, the Rupanuga Dhara, Dhara means the current, the current of his thought or his feelings is always going to Rupa Manjari, to lotus feet of Rupa Manjari, and the service of Radharani and the gopis in Vrindavan. So we're hearing about Indira Ekadashi, and we're remembering Gopi Geet, the service of the gopis during the Rasa dance. So that will be our kingdom of God. That will be, we want to return to that world and engage in their eternal service of Radharani and Madhav and the groves of Vrindavan. So even the observance of Ekadasi is meant to purify us and to bring us to the service of Indira. Indira means the goddess of fortune, Vrindavan personified, or the Ishri of Vrindavan personified, which is Vrindavan Ishri Radharani, Mahabhav Sarupini. So we're not interested in so many boons and benedictions. Our Nitya Sankalpa is that we vow to attain the service of Radharani's feet and nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. Indira Ekadashi ki jai.
Another question.
Miss Ekadashi?
No, about Pitra Dosh. What exactly is this Pitra Dosh? I mean,
what's the question?
Sometimes astrologers say this, you have Pitra Dosh.
Yeah, Pitra Dosh.
So what exactly is...
I'm not so familiar with Pitra Dosh, but... that means there's some type of something has to be overcome. I mean, they speak of it as a dosh means fault,
yes.
As you know, that's obvious. Some kind of dosh in the Petris that they can be cursing the relatives. Oh. That's one thing. Because I know one astrologer also told me that in 1981, the rice lady, sort of like an astrologer, Rishikesh, And she said, oh, your mother is cursing you, so you're not progressing properly in spiritual life. So I wasn't so aware of that. I thought I wasn't progressing because of my own parabdha, material desires. At any rate, that was 1981. So then she said, you should rectify that situation. So at that juncture, I was returning to America to serve there after serving in Rishikesh, ISKCON. And so I, because I was driving by my mother's house from the airport to the temple, and I hadn't seen my mother since 7 or 8 years, I called her and said, I'll meet you. And so then we met, stayed for a few hours on the way to, from the airport to the temple. I dropped in. I didn't stay overnight even. 1981, my brother came there and his family. My mother, of course, is living by herself. So then we made some prasad there and distributed everyone and had some kirtan and taught people how to play kartals. And my brother's children, it was kind of a nice engagement, preaching engagement. Basically, that's what it was. Everyone was chanting Hare Krishna, everyone took prasadam. I preached the Bhagavad Gita. And then I left, never to be seen again. That's the one and last time I saw my mother. Or my brother. So then, when I was going to the car, my mother, I had a rented car, my mother, I was driving a rented car, my mother walked me to the car, everyone. And then my mother did what mothers do, they like to embrace their sons and kiss them and stuff like that. And I said, I hope you're happy. I said to my mother, I said, I hope you're happy that I visited and was just chanting. She said, yeah, this is okay, it's nice. She said, listen, don't wait another, I don't know, whatever it was. It's 81, 73. Don't wait another 8 years or whatever it was. Don't wait another 8 years before you see me again. Otherwise, I'll have to curse you.
Oh.
Exactly, she said these words. Otherwise, I'll have to curse you. And as soon as she said that, those words, curse, then my mind flew to Rishikesh.
Yeah.
Immediately, I had a flashback to this rice lady, Jyotishi. This lady up there, and she says, yes, your mother. I heard her voice. And I said, actually, and I turned to my mother, actually, that's why I wanted to come here. I want you to be pleased with me, because if you're going to curse me, then it's not very good for me. She says, no, I'm very happy with you. Don't worry. Everything's okay. So I said, okay, good. So this is a type of Petri dosh that even in the present tense, that your living parents can cause difficulty in your bhajan if they're unfavorable.
Mm-hmm.
They can, your ethers, you try to meditate. Just like, for example, Rupa Goswami was meditating on some lila in Sevakunj, and it was some hasiras in that lila, and he was in his siddhadeya, his Rupa Manjari.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was assisting Radharani in some funny pastime, and then Radharani was laughing, and he was sharing that hasiras with Radharani and Manjari Sarup, Avesh, Lila Avesh. And so Rupa Manjari Rupa was also laughing. And just at the time he was laughing, there was one Vaishnava had come to have his darshan and just paid dandavats in front of him, not realizing that he was deep in samadhi in Lila Pravesh. And then he was laughing, so this Vaishnava thought, oh, is Rupa Goswami mocking me? Because he was a little bit maybe broken leg or blind or something. He was some infirm. He was crippled type, infirm. So then he said, oh, he's just laughing at me and not even saying anything, just laughing in his own reverie. And not, so he went away disturbed. So he was somewhat upset. That Vaishnava was upset with the treatment that he thought he was receiving from Rupa Goswami. And then later, Rupa Goswami, then he lost that spurti, that meditation that broke, and he came into Bhayadasha. And Bhayadasha means external consciousness. And he left that Anta Dasha. And then he came and he said, oh, what? And then he tried again to meditate and go into Anta Dasha, and internal consciousness, absorb himself in his Smaran, Lila Smaran, Srupavesh, Lila Pravesh, but he couldn't enter there. There was some big shape, some distraction in his mind. So he tried to trace out because did I eat some food from the wrong person, or did I make some offense, some aparad? And then he couldn't trace it out. And then Jiva Goswami was serving him. He said, well, maybe there was when you were in meditation when Vaishnava came. Because Jiva was always there serving him, washing his feet and preparing the manuscripts for him in Sevakunj. So then Jiva said, maybe, and then Rupa Goswami, by his perception, he thought, maybe you can try to find that Vaishnava. So this is an example of somehow one's bhajan or one's performance of devotional service can be affected by the bad thoughts of another. What to speak of a living relative. So this is a type of difficulty or fault that creates some obstacle or dosha. You can say jiva dosha or pitri dosha or whatever. Some living entity causes some difficulty on this plane, present day plane, from the example I gave of my mother and then also Rupa Goswami. And then if you think about deceased relatives, they Devarshi Bhutata Nirimpritirnam, this explains in 11th canto, that verse is there. I think you must be knowing. Famous verse about debts to the ancestors. If one takes full shelter of the Lord, then he doesn't have those debts. If he's fully sheltered, and then he doesn't have, even though the astrologers can say all these things, which they are always keen to say, usually they tell you they can do some yoga for you also. They tell you the dosha, and then they tell you the way to remove it. And it's just a small fee. For a small fee, they can remove the dosha. This is 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 41, in the instructions of Karabhajana Muni, instructing King Nimi. Or rather, it's Karabhajana. This is Navayogendras. There's 9 of them, so this particular one is Karabhajana. It's interesting, it's Kara means hands. In Sanskrit, Kara means hands. Pani and Kara means hands. So he's doing bhajan with his hands. Kirtan. Clapping his hands. So this verse he's telling is famous verse. Devarshi bhutata nunam prithvinam nakinkaro nayanam rinicharajan sarvatmanaya charanam sharanyam gutto mukandam parivritya kartam. So this, all these devas and rishis and apta means relatives, and pitris, these are the ancestors, nrinam, like Narahari means ordinary men. We have so many debts to them. But if we're surrendered to Mukunda, then that's why he's using the name Mukunda, one becomes free, liberated. Parirritya kartam. Gata mukundam parirritya kartam. That if one has approached Mukunda, If he has become Mukunda Preshta, he's become very dear to Mukunda. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Putleshim. We say, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya. If he's become Krishna Preshta or Mukunda Preshta, then he becomes Parivritya Kartam. Karta, doing actions, he's Parivritya, he's free, he's liberated, he's free, he has no more debts. But that approach must be full. So therefore, Jyotish, this he can't see, understand how much you've taken shelter of Mukunda, Mukundashraya, Govindashraya. But if one, it says, if one who has given up all material duties and taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, he is no longer indebted to demigods, deva, rishi, great sages, ordinary living entities, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has rendered service to the Lord need not serve any other person separately. You pour water on the roots, then all the leaves and branches get satisfied without independent watering. If you put food in the mouth, then the whole body gets nourished without putting in your ear and other places. So, but these doshas can be there. They can be in Pitri Loka, and this is an example, I suppose, of Pitri Dosh. Because Narada Muni went to Yamaraj and he said, oh look, I'm suffering over here. My son. So that's because there's all this connection, there's so much connection, karmic connection. There's global karma, there's national karma, there's city karma. If there's terrorists in Bombay, then everybody's in the grips. They're suffering. That's like city karma.
Yes.
So there's also karma from our parivara karma. So it has dosha has influence. So the astrologers will see that somehow there's some configuration of planets will indicate that some petris are hung up, and then we have to correct that fault that is on our head. So somehow it comes in our chart. And you may look at your sister's chart, but it may be not there. Maybe because she's a woman or whatever. And so you receive, the man receives more from his parivara than the woman. It's considered that a man has better, he's received more results, more blessings from the petris. That's why the jiva gets a male form. So then he has more responsibility. Because petri, paksha, and pin, and shrut is all done by men, not by women. So you have greater debt when you take a greater loan. So we've taken a loan from our ancestors. So we have to pay back. So during these 15 days, one is supposed to feed cows or dogs or crows, especially. They seem to be the via medium to the petri loka, grains. So most everyone does that. But it's not so much, devotees don't have to worry about all these minor details so much. But nevertheless, just to, in a mood of compassion and in a mood of submission to the Shastra conjunctions, it's not that one who's on the path of Ragmarg or on the path of Bhakti, which is really, Radha Krishna Bhakti is really Ragmarg, ultimately, that he can just disregard all these rituals, rules and rituals and regulations. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was certainly on the path of Ragmarg. But at the age of 20 years old, several years after his father died, according to our research, he was 20 when he went to observe Pind and Gaya and Gadadhara Vishnu, with the lotus feet of Gadadhara Vishnu, one form of Vishnu called Gadadhara, Gada, you know, carrying the chuck club. His footprints are embedded in a rock in Gaya, so he went there to worship those feet on behalf of Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra died when he was about 16 or so. So it was several years that he waited. But he did that. He observed that function. So we can also observe these functions. So we don't give ordinary grains to our ancestors. We give Mahaprasad. There's these kind of details are explained in Satkriya Deepika by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He explains the Gaudiya Vaishnava way to observe these various rituals, like marriage and shraddha and namkaran and chudakaran and dasavita sanskaras. So this comes under that category. Because we're preachers, this mood of Vaishnava Kripambudi, Ambudi Kripa, the Vaishnava's notion of mercy, compassion. So it's not that we just preach to the members of the IYF. The doctor, he gives some people he gives medicine, some people he gives enema to, some people he gives massage, some people there's all different kinds of medicines according to the disease. So we preach in the colleges, we preach in the Harinam, we preach with books, we preach on the internet, we preach by giving Mahaprasad to our ancestors. So there's nothing wrong. It's not pratikul to pure bhakti. It's actually rather softening the heart and appreciating our connection. That we're all in a dependent position. It actually reinforces the concept of dependence. When you realize that, I'm indebted. Eternally indebted. We say this, the disciple is eternally indebted to the guru. Mm-hmm. Spiritual master has given me such assets. He's put me on the mukti marg, bhakti marg, and initiated me with Vaishnava mantras and giving me shiksha and training and bhajan so that I can get eternal liberation, life of happiness and bliss in the service of Radha Krishna. So how much indebted? How can I pay that debt? With a million lifetimes, I can never pay that debt. So we have debts to those that have benefited us. So no one has benefited us or blessed us more than the Guru Varg, Guru Parampara. Yeah. So then our own ancestors, they have also blessed us. Our body is made of their bodies. Our genes are their genes. So we have some natural indebtedness. So of course we can do these rituals. We can offer Mahaprasad during Pitri Paksha, which is now Ashwin Maina, Krishna Paksha. But that can be done, but the most important thing to do is become pure devotee. We become a pure devotee. And there's different explanations about that. If one is, it says even if one is a madhyam, he liberates. Sometimes they say if you're a madhyam, you're not actually, if you're a premi bhakta, then you liberate 100 generations. And if you're different level of your attainment, you have different power. And 14 generations and 7 generations. The idea is one that's fully dedicated to the Lord, he can tremendously benefit everyone. Not only himself and his immediate family, but the family of man, the animals, all the living entities, what to speak of our ancestors. So this is the way to become free from Pitri Dosh. Kalera Dosha Nadehi Rajan Asti Eka Mahaganan Kirtana Devi Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrijat. So everybody can get mukta. You can have a mukta sangha. A whole big group of people can get mukti. Sangha means a group. Sa-anga, with bodies. Sa-anga. You can get liberated with a bunch of other people too. All right? So this is the one meaning. There's so much fault, but you can, by chanting Hare Krishna, you can become a good swimmer in the ocean. And with your anga, you can go and liberate other people from the ocean of birth and death. You can pick them up with your arms, throw them in the lifeboat, Sankirtan lifeboat, and then save all your relatives by Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Kirtan. That is the one good thing about Kali Yuga. You can liberate. Mukta Sangha Param Vrijat. This is a supreme victory for everyone. You can liberate all your bodily limbs and all your relationships. Everyone is connected. Sa-anga. Everyone's connected to your body. Can be liberated. Go to Mukunda. Mukunda Dham. Braja Dham. By this Krishna Nam. Right? There dosha neeraja nasti eka mahaganam. Kirtana deva Krishna siya muktas. This is the mahagun. This is the one good quality. One good quality is this. One mantra for everyone. Hare Krishna.